Hi, I'm Brian Sullivan, Security Program Manager with Microsoft, and here with me today is Danny Dillon, Security Consultant at EMC. So welcome, Danny.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Thank you for having me, Brian.
So tell us a little bit what you're going to be talking about at Blue Hat this week.
Okay, so this week at Blue Hat I'm going to be talking about threat modeling. I work at EMC within the Product Security Office, a central organization that's helping a lot of the development organizations within EMC build security into their development lifecycle. And one of the areas that we're asking product groups to build into their development lifecycle is threat modeling. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we had in rolling out threat modeling to the development organizations within EMC and how we address those challenges, where we are right now with threat modeling, and what we plan to do going forward.
Okay, cool. Well, what are some of those challenges? Anything you can talk
about? The biggest challenge, and you know, talking with your experts on threat modeling, the similar challenges that you face, and that threat modeling requires a lot of security expertise.
Definitely.
So it's not something that an average developer can really get their arms around in some cases. So that's been the biggest challenge, is trying to create tools and resources and methodologies that are easily usable by average developers, some without security expertise.
So what kind of processes or have you come up with to help them out in this?
Right. So the approach that we've taken at EMC is we've taken an approach with collaboration being a central part of that approach, and that we do have
collaboration between whom?
Between the product development organizations throughout EMC. So
oh, okay.
What we found is that not every developer has security expertise, not every development organization has security expertise, but there's pockets of security expertise throughout EMC. We kind of tapped into that network, and what we've done is we've created a threat library of common threats that are found in EMC products, and that library is created and maintained by people throughout EMC and can be used by the broader EMC community. So,
okay. So, like, what would some examples of those threats be?
Some of the examples, I mean, there's the simple threats, lacking authentication.
Okay.
Or second order threats where you have, weaknesses within your security controls like authentication. The threats are similar in nature to STRI, spoofing, tampering, repudiation. We get into a little more finer grained detail in terms of what some of the particular weaknesses that lead to, that introduce or amplify these threats.
So it is fairly fine-grained like that then?
Right. We believe it's pretty fine-grained.
Okay. And then there's prescriptive guidance too to say how you should fix this?
Right. That's another area that we've started to create a knowledge base on is the mitigation. So one thing to find issues and vulnerabilities is another to fix them, and the developers are interested in the second, right? They don't get excited about finding new vulnerabilities in their products like security people do, and they really want the solution. And we have standard mitigation approaches and techniques that work in most cases. Some cases, the design is complex, or there's certain wrinkles that are introduced, and those solutions don't work, but they can be modified. Mm-hmm. And we also have at EMC, we're starting to develop a lot of common security toolkits and technologies and bringing them into EMC products to solve common problems in standard ways.
That's interesting. I mean, I suppose you probably have a little tougher job than we do, since you have, I'm guessing, more different environments. I mean, we're generally either, C or, C# for managed code, but you probably have a wider range of technologies to deal with.
Right, definitely. There's tons of technologies. We do a lot of stuff on Windows and using Windows development environments, but then we do everything else as well. So that is one of the challenges that we have in implementing our SDL at EMC, is that there's so much diversity in product mm-hmm. development organizations in terms of technologies and languages that they're using. So we have C# as well as Java and C and other languages, Perl, Ruby, some languages that I've never heard of.
And all these are covered by the threat modeling, like the threat library.
Right. So the threat library is at a design level, so it's at an architectural level, so it gets into some very common issues that aren't particular languages, like C, for example. It'll mm-hmm. highlight those issues, but for the most part, it's language independent.
Oh, okay.
Right, it's an architectural level.
Well, I mean, so we've talked a lot about your threat modeling process, and I know you're familiar with our threat modeling process. Do you see a lot of similarities or a lot of differences between them? Like, what would you say would be the primary differences?
The primary difference, well, there are a lot of similarities, they're very comparable, and when we started doing threat modeling at EMC, we did use Microsoft methodology at first, and it kind of evolved over time to meet some of the limitations. So it was challenging to get Stride working with development organizations without security expertise. We tried it, and then we made modifications accordingly. Some of the main differences is that, from what I see, is that we're not using Stride. We're a little more finer grained than Stride. I'll say that's the main difference. It's not a big difference. When we do data flow diagrams, we do them a slightly different. We took out the notion of trust boundaries. We found that developers were not able to understand trust boundaries in a lot of cases, or they had a different definition than we had. It wasn't something that could be clearly communicated. This is what a trust boundary is. This exists here, but it doesn't exist there.
Trust boundary is a little more abstract of a concept than like a process or a data store.
Right, exactly. So everything on the data flow diagram maps back to something that, you know, pretty tangible, like a process or data store, or data flow network communication API call, things
so
like that.
So what did you replace the trust boundary with?
When we do threat modeling, we assume a trust boundary between every element in the data flow diagram.
Oh, okay.
So that we take a very paranoid approach. Say, well, there's trust. Any time you have data moving between elements in the data flow diagram, there's some trust boundary being traversed. In some cases, the other entity is trusted or not. And what it comes down to, whether you can trust the other entity, is what security controls you have in place. Do you have authentication, data validation? What do you have in place to assure the integrity of incoming data and not just integrity, but authenticity and other aspects of security of incoming data and outgoing data. So what we replace trust boundaries with is security control. So this is something that, again, is pretty tangible. Developers know where in the product is authentication happening, where is authorization happening, where have I put in coding standards or data validation modules to limit other types of attacks, where do I have secure communication, where do I not. So we've replaced the trust boundary concept with the notion of security controls, and we found that it's something that developers can easily
Yeah, that makes sense. Is that kind of the same thing with Stride? Did you find Stride to just be too amorphous, kind of not actionable enough?
Which Stride is good, and it's very has educational value. So it's good to tell to teach people, well, these are the typical types of threats and how an attacker typically looks at a system and thinks about how can I do these types of things, right? And it's also good at brainstorming. Vulnerability. So you strive to do brainstorming activity and find some threats to your application. What we found, though, is that most of the time when doing threat modeling, we're not really coming up with new types of threats and vulnerabilities. It was the same instances being repeated in different products. So we'd say, well, this interface is not authenticated. Well, then there's a spoofing threat, right? There's these common weaknesses within software architecture, and we took the approach that rather than start with something very open-ended, Stride six types of attacks and start brainstorming. We say, well, let's go a step further. We know about the common weaknesses. Let's just give the common weaknesses. Check your design. Do you have these common weaknesses? If you have these common weaknesses, well, then you have threats. So
that makes sense.
That's the approach that we took.
That sounds like a great approach. Right. So what's the takeaway for the audience? If you could leave them with one thought, what would you tell them to do?
What I would tell them to do is definitely do threat modeling. It's very valuable. We haven't talked about the results at EMC. We've seen a lot of good results from threat modeling. The product architectures are improving. It has some secondary benefits. The developers become more security aware. It has educational value as well. And so the main takeaway is do threat modeling. And if you find it hard to do threat modeling without security expertise, then take an approach that like we did, and more of a checklist-based approach. A lot of these weaknesses out there, I read a paper, I can't recall who wrote the paper, but the paper basically was the unforgivable sins of software development. And they go through these common weaknesses that have been out there for a long time. They're very well understood and should be avoiding them, and it's easy to identify them up front when you're doing your product architecture and design, and to put controls in place to mitigate the risk of them actually being introduced into the software downstream.
Excellent. All right, well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.